Hello, Cornelians. Welcome to another episode of Fresh from the Hill, Inside Stories of Noteworthy Cornelians. I'm John Rawls III, class of 2006, and the 16th president of the Cornell Black Alumni Association. Today's episode is a bit of a departure from our regular format. At this point, you're probably used to me engaging with various guests that we have here on the podcast, but today, we're going to have a conversation. I wanted to talk to you all about what allyship means, and specifically to the Black community, from my own thoughts. I also want to talk to you about the importance of amplifying Black and minoritized voices in everyday life. Over the past year or so, I've been engaged in these conversations more intentionally, especially within the Cornell community, and I believe that all of us play a role in addressing not only social justice issues, but from where we sit and from where we lead, we can all help make change for the better. So, what is allyship? What does it really mean to be an ally? This word has been used a lot in diversity and inclusion spaces over many years. So for a definition, I look to my good friend and confidant, Merriam-Webster. I do hope that you're chuckling at least a little bit right there. Merriam-Webster defines an ally as a term used to specifically speak of a person who is not a member of a marginalized or mistreated group, but who expresses or gives support to that group. We've seen this term used a lot when we think about the LGBTQIA community, where the A can either stand for asexual or for ally. Allyship is important for when we think about marginalized or minoritized groups or individuals. It is great to have those who support a group who might not necessarily identify with that group, but from a place of privilege or not, they show their support in many ways. But for those of us who are in this work, we've certainly seen a shift in the terminology used, especially in these more trying times. You hear more and more about the desire to have more than just allies. But individuals and communities want those who want to be accomplices or even co-conspirators. So you might be wondering the difference, right? Well, an accomplice assists in the commission of something, but does not actually participate in that particular event. But a co-conspirator participates in the event. They are an active part of it. And so when you think about allyship, I would invite you to consider being more of a co-conspirator. Now, there's nothing wrong with supporting a group that you don't belong to, but understand how that can still put the burden and the onus of the issue and its resolution squarely on the shoulders of the impacted community. Now, author Roxane Gay had a great way of putting it in her 2016 article in Marie Claire magazine entitled On Making Black Lives Matter. Gay states, Black people don't need allies. We need people to stand up and take on the problems born of oppression as their own without remove or distance. We need people to do this even if they cannot fully understand what it's like to be oppressed for their race or ethnicity, gender, sexuality, ability, class, religion, or other marker of identity. We need people to use common sense to figure out how to participate in social justice. This past year in particular, we've seen issues of social justice come to the forefront, not just with the Black community, but also the Asian Pacific Islander and Desi American community, known as the Apida community. We've seen a rise in crimes against the Apida community, many stemming from hate in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. Just as we as Black people in the United States need co-conspirators in the fight against social injustice, but so does our Apida community. And so does our Latinx and Indigenous communities and our LGBTQIA community, those who are considered of low socioeconomic status, and many other communities as well. One of the reasons I'm grateful for my fellow diversity alumni program groups is because we aren't just allies, but I believe that the work we do and the way we show up for one another, we are accomplices and co-conspirators in this work. I think about the summer of 2020, and if you remember, that was a time where we saw the murders of George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, and Breonna Taylor, and many others. And we started to see the uprise in cities across the country and even around the world, those who are speaking out against these injustices, right? And I remember, as the president of Cornell Black Alumni Association, having a meeting with the other presidents of the other diversity alumni program groups, right? The Cornell Latinx Alumni Association, the Cornell Asian Alumni Association, as well as Kugla, which is our organization for our LGBTQIA community. We came together and we strategized how we thought this would best be approached, right? They decided, and we decided as a group, really, that, you know, SEBA's messaging would lead, and then these groups would echo that messaging with their own sentiments as well. Again, the way that we showed up and came together, it wasn't just simply, well, let's go and find what SEBA is doing and let's just repost that on our social media. No, it was a conversation about strategy, which helped us to find ourselves as accomplices and co-conspirators in this work. And for that, I'm greatly appreciative. Now, I want you to brace yourself for my next statement, okay? I hope you're sitting down for this one. In some way, each of us connected to Cornell carries an aspect of privilege, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. All right, I'm gonna run that back and I'm gonna say it again for the people in the back, just to make sure that you heard me. In some way, each of us carries an aspect of privilege, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. For myself, as a Black cisgendered man in America, I understand my Black identity is marginalized in society due to the history and treatment of Black people, as we think about the last 400 years, including slavery. But being a man carries much privilege. Add on to that, the fact that I have a bachelor's and master's degree also provides an example of educational privilege that has afforded me many opportunities, including this one that you're listening to right now. So from where I sit as a Black person, I know and have experienced discrimination, racism, and even hate more than I would care to admit, but it is my truth. But as a man, I use my positionality to speak up against discrimination against women, trans folks, and others who identify as non-binary. I speak up about the inequity in pay that those who are not men face in the workforce. I speak out against policies that try to dictate how women and others should dress in the workplace or anywhere for that matter. And as someone who has been privileged to have attended college, I continue to learn about the things that I don't know, educate myself and have conversations like this, and figure out where my allyship, accompliceship, and co-conspiratorship are best served to those impacted communities. Privilege does not have to be a bad thing. It's all in how you own it and what you do with that privilege that you have. Now, I want to talk a little bit about what this season of Fresh from the Hill has really been all about, which is amplifying Black voices. I know I've said this before, but I'm really grateful for the staff in Alumni Affairs and Development, particularly Matt Carcella, Khaleesia Mullings, and our incredible producer, Amanda Massa. When they initially contacted me with the idea, I thought it was brilliant. If we can be honest for just a second, American higher education was not built with the idea of educating people of color. Thankfully, many opened the door and many paved the way for those like me to be college educated. This podcast and this platform has afforded me the chance to introduce you to just some of the incredible individuals in the Cornell Black community in these last few months. Amanda and the team opened their platform to amplify Black voices within our community to share perspectives that might differ from what some might think to be the general Cornell experience. And that is so very important. These opportunities to hear other perspectives and experiences, those that even stem from a shared experience that is Cornell, is not only utilizing this particular platform for good, but creating space for learning, listening, and understanding to take place. I believe that this is a great example of what it means to amplify Black voices and amplify minoritized voices. And over the last year, many individuals in and outside of the Cornell community have asked me how amplifying Black voices and minoritized voices can happen. So I want to share that with you, again, from my own thoughts. I often start from where we sit and from where we lead. Make sure to engage those voices in conversation when they are ready. I want to share a professional example of that from the work that I do. For those that don't know, I am the director of the Black Student Center and special assistant to the Chief Diversity Officer at California State University, San Marcos, which is located in Northern San Diego, California. As I mentioned before in reflecting on my experience as the president of SEBA, the spring and summer of 2020 were pretty difficult. And even from a professional standpoint, campus leadership was looking for my voice and my contributions as a thought partner as we addressed these issues of how to best support our Black students, faculty, staff, and administrators. I was asked to consult not only on messaging and communication to our entire campus community, but from a strategic place, I was an expert being asked to weigh in on how our institution can better serve our Black community. As the requests began coming in, I had to make a request of my own. I told my colleagues and individuals in leadership that I was more than willing to assist in this process to help move our institution forward, but I needed just a little bit of time. You see, while my work dictated my involvement in these particular issues and conversations, my care and concern for my own mental health required me to take some time to properly process what was happening for me before I could be a sounding board or a leader for others. My colleagues and leadership were extremely supportive of that. They gave me the space that I needed to care for myself to approach this issue head on. So patience and understanding are important when the individuals and the impacted community are ready to talk. Make sure that they know they have that option and give them that space to share. Part of amplifying Black and other minoritized voices is also listening. Listen to their stories. Listen to their experiences. It puts volume and emphasis to the need for them to be heard. Active listening is so very important. Don't listen to respond immediately, but listen to gain understanding, to gain perspective that probably is going to be different from yours. And that's okay. But make sure that you are an active listener. Next, find opportunities where you lead to open the door. Again, part of this is understanding where your privilege shows up and how you can use it to establish a space and promote discussion around a particular issue. I think about the fact that we live in such a social media-based society that now deals with issues really on a 24-hour news cycle. Something in the news can turn into water cooler chat or even be a small mention in a meeting. But if something else comes up in the next 24 hours, that initial issue may fade off into the distance. And so sometimes we have to create that space and open the door. If you determine that an issue needs more time and attention, this is where you can use your positionality to open the door for others to be heard. Instead of someone from the impacted community needing to fight to be heard and to be recognized, how much greater would it be for an accomplice or a co-conspirator to open the space for conversation to take place? So again, as you've listened to the impacted community, if you're in those spaces and places where these voices need to be heard and considered more, figure out how you lead by opening the door. Opening the door to that space and hold that door open so that conversation can continue. And finally, as we think about how to amplify Black and minoritized voices, be the echo. Don't take up space and make the issue about you or make the issue about something else that may be seemingly connected, but not really. Be the echo. Again, I think about when I worked with the diversity alumni groups and they all echoed the sentiments of the statement that SEBA made. How powerful is that? It's a powerful echo that began to ring all across our alumni base. And even last summer during Reunion 20, when our organizations were able to work with Alumni Affairs to create space to talk about what was going on. That was so very powerful. That actually was not only the DAP groups, but DAP and Alumni Affairs themselves being an echo and recognizing from where we lead, we can make something happen. Let's open the door to this conversation. You see how this stuff plays out? Being the echo is so very important. You want those voices to be heard and you want to show how you support those voices. So again, think about, how do you engage in those conversations when the impacted community is ready and prepared? How can you listen intentionally to their stories and their lived experiences? Find those opportunities where you can lead by holding the door open for those conversations to take place. I often think about, and I want to back up for just a second, I think about in higher education when doing workshops with students, I often talk about the concept of stepping up and stepping back. In a workshop, I'll ask students to step up when they feel like they have something to share that has not been shared already, or it is presented from a different viewpoint that may not have been heard originally in the conversation. But stepping back is the concept of if you've taken up the space, stepping back and allowing other individuals to engage and to share. Now, we all know we've been to those workshops and sessions and events and programs where you have those one or two people who seem to have an answer or a comment for everything. That's where we talk about stepping back. And sometimes we have to recognize when our privilege is in play, when we have the floor, sometimes we have to step back in order for others to be able to step up. And again, finally, be that echo. Don't usurp the issue to make it about you. But what the impacted community says that they need, echo that. And think about, again, as an accomplice or a co-conspirator, how do you make that happen? How do you assist them in getting exactly what they need to survive and to thrive? I really hope you got something out of this brief conversation this week. I know it's not, again, our usual conversation with our alumni, but as we really think about what this season has meant, I wanted to make sure that we contextualize it to think about not just for Black folks, but as we think about underrepresented groups, marginalized groups, minoritized groups in our community, how do we continue to amplify their stories, to give them space, to give them voice, and allow them to be seen and heard? I appreciate all of you for listening today. I do want to do something a little different and ask that if you have questions or comments or thoughts about what you've heard, please feel free to email me and let's engage in a dialogue. You can contact me at president@cbaa1976.com. Again, that is president@cbaa1976.com. Please feel free to reach out if you have any questions. I would love to engage with you. And again, I appreciate you all listening today. Please make sure to like, rate, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find out more about Young Alumni programs and how to get involved at alumni.cornell.edu/youngalumni and by following the Facebook page at Young Alumni Programs. You can also learn more about the Cornell Black Alumni Association at cbaa1976.com and follow us on social media at cbaa1976 on all platforms. Music from Fresh from the Hill was written and produced and recorded by Kia Albertson Rogers, class of 2013, and you can contact him at koa3@cornell.edu. If you have ideas for the podcast you'd like to share, email our amazing producer, Amanda Massa, at amanda.massa, M-A-S-S-A, @cornell.edu. Join us next time for the very last episode of this particular season of Fresh from the Hill, where you will hear from not only myself, but you will hear from the rest of the current executive board of the Cornell Black Alumni Association as we prepare to kick off our reunion, our Cornell reunion. I hope you're excited just like I am. Thank you again so much for listening, and we can't wait for you to join us for our last episode of this season of Fresh from the Hill. Take care.